I was looking back in my sermon notes, I believe it was this morning, just looking back to see, look at Mother's Day messages that I may have preached, and so I noticed that I believe the second Sunday of May last year was the first Sunday that we had in-person worship here for a number of weeks, and it was on Mother's Day, and I did not preach a Mother's Day message last year. I had some opening comments, I believe, in relation to our mothers, and looked at a message on the risen life. I'm not sure what led me to that. I guess I know who led me to that, but imagine that we hadn't had an Easter message, and possibly, and thinking about a message that would inspire us in our Christian lives. And so I'm thankful this morning that we can gather together in person. Not everyone in North America is doing that this morning. And we're certainly grateful for what God has done for us. And we're also grateful, especially for mothers, for our mothers today. And I like to think about a message in relation to our mothers. We owe much to our mothers. And the influence that you have as mothers today is something that's unmeasurable. And so we, as God's people, are grateful for what you do for us, for your children, for the church, and our communities. I know that Brother Clyde did not realize this, but the last song that we sang brought memories to my mind. That was one of my Grandma Zimmerman's favorite songs, which was also Sister Irma and Sister Martha's mothers as well. And every time we sing that song, I have the picture in my mind of my mother at my Grandma Zimmerman's funeral. And the emotion that was surrounded singing that song, it was one of her favorites, and that those memories are with me today, and I think of that usually every time I sing that song. And so in preparation for this message, of course, I've been thinking about mothers, and the singing of that song brought more memories to my mind, and thank you for that. In the scriptures, we have many, many examples of godly mothers. And the influence of mothers. Sarah was a mother who waited. God had promised her a son at an old age, and she waited for many, many years. In fact, from what I found is that from the first time that God gave Abraham the promise, when he said, I want you to come out and leave the country that you're in, and I'm going to make of you a great nation, from that point in time until Isaac was born was about 29 years. And I wondered how often Sarah thought about that. Of course, Abraham told her about the promise that God gave, and they talked about what that meant and how God could possibly do it and what God had in mind. You wonder what went through Sarah's mind in her lonely moments. In Genesis chapter 15, it was about 8 years after God had initially given Abraham that promise. God told Abraham to look up and tell him the number of the stars. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And so then it was a number of years later until Isaac was born. And we know the story of even at that point in time, Sarah had given up hope of a child. She was the mother who waited. Hannah was the mother who kept her promise. She promised God that if he gave her a son, she would lend him back to the Lord and to his work. And she kept that promise. Jochebed was the mother of Moses. And she was a mother that had a plan. I read that passage just here a few weeks ago in my Bible reading. And Jochebed, as I thought about that story again and that account and looked at it, and how that Miriam was out there by the river. And I really wonder whether it was just coincidence As Pharaoh's daughter came out there, I know that wasn't coincidence, but the fact that Miriam was out by the river, we know that she was appointed to watch. But I can't help but believing that Jochebed had given Miriam some instructions, that maybe she had this feeling that somehow God was going to work something out. And maybe she told Miriam that, listen, if someone comes down to the river, maybe the cries of this child, maybe the cries of baby Moses will be heard, and some sympathetic Egyptian woman will come along and want to care for him. And you go and offer that we can take care of him. I don't know. But she had a plan. She thought about and believed that God had a plan and purpose for the child that he had given her. And she was ready to assist God with that plan and help him as best she could. Naomi was a mother and a mother-in-law who shared her faith. The Shunammite woman was a mother of trust. I believe that 2 years ago, I brought a message on Mother's Day here, and we looked at the Shunammite woman and the godly example that she was and how her faith was played out in everyday life and in the challenges that she faced. The Syrophoenician mother was a mother of great faith who pled for Jesus to heal her daughter. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a mother of courage and of faith. And so there's many, many more examples that we could look at in the scriptures of mothers that were just godly, and how they fit into God's plan. And so today, mothers, your role is priceless. Your influence is tremendous. Your toil is endless, your love is empowering, and your influence is immeasurable. And God bless you as you carry out your role of motherhood. Mother's Day is a time of reflection. Some of you this morning reflect back to mothers who have gone on to be with their Lord and Savior. And also sometimes Mother's Day is a time of reflection as well to those who maybe long to be a mother and God has not yet granted that desire. And so this morning as we look at mothers, I trust that our hearts can be drawn heavenward. And I'd like to say this, that maybe on this side of the house, maybe there's young men here that say, well, you know, what can I learn this morning? But we all have a mother. And you all have a mother that needs your recognition and your love and your support. And also, as young men, think about maybe a life companion. And young men this morning, don't tell us that you never think about that, because we know you do. And think about the kind of young lady that could develop into a mother that God can bless. So we want to look at that. I'd like to read three passages of Scripture and then look at some traits or characteristics of a godly mother. I'd like to turn first to Psalm 113. Psalm 113, I'm going to start reading at verse 1, just a 9-verse psalm. Praise ye the Lord, praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. And then verse 9 says this, in this context of praising God, he maketh a barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. The joyful mother of children. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 31. And I like to read these verses. Sometimes when mothers read Proverbs 31, wives read this passage, and maybe Maybe you've done it already and you almost get discouraged because it seems like such a lofty ideal that is way beyond your reach. But I like to just lay that all aside and just think about the aspects of a godly mother. Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And then Titus chapter 2. Just looking at a couple verses there, Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. Says this, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so in these verses, it's just a couple of statements that just really, really pulls together and just draws a framework, as it were, around a picture of just a godly mother and a godly woman. And so there are to be those who love their children and love their husbands. And they're discreet, they're wise, they're chaste. They are intentional about keeping their hearts and their lives only to their husbands. They're keepers at home, and they're just a shining light in their communities. What are some lessons that we can learn from this today? This morning, it's not my desire to paint an idealistic and unrealistic picture of motherhood, but my prayer is that this message would be an encouragement to the mothers today that are here. The value of a mother. The value of a mother. Now, Proverbs 31 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. How much is a ruby worth? We don't spend much time looking at jewels today, do we? We don't wear jewelry because of what the Bible teaches us. And so I don't spend much time at the jewelry shop in Myerstown. A ruby. What is it worth? The proverb writer says that a godly woman, a godly mother's value is far above rubies. I'm told that rubies are the most precious and valuable of all gemstones. And that a ruby, it's always reddish in color, and the way that gem is cut and its design, affects its value. But a ruby is worth $1 million per carat weight. Now, incidentally, men, there's no verse in the Bible I can turn to that says anything at all about the value of a man or a husband. Not anything close to this. $1 million per carat weight, which is a carat weight is 200 milligrams, which is 0.007th of an ounce. And so to kind of wrap your minds around how small this is, if you take 0.007 of an ounce, if you take a milligram times 28,349.52, then you have an ounce. And so Proverbs says that her price is far above rubies. And so I believe this morning that it's worthy of our time and consideration to think about mothers and to encourage you in your work and in your calling and in your role of life. Because your value is just out of our minds, beyond our capacity to think almost. Your value is tremendous. And your influence is tremendous as well. Looking at a few traits of a godly mother. And the first one that I have is a joyful mother. Joyful mother. Now, I said that I don't want to paint a picture that looks unrealistic, and I'm afraid that on this point I'm going to do it. And I want you as husbands and fathers to understand this morning, and as boys, as young men, that this trait of and this goal of happiness and joyful expression as you go through life is tremendously important as well. It's not just, of course, for sisters. But in this, in our one of our text verses in Psalm 113, the psalmist says that she shall be the joyful mother of children. And that thought captured my attention. The scriptures have quite a bit to say about being joyful. Joy and happiness are expressions of a heart that's at rest. One that is satisfied and at peace with yourself and with God, and at peace with your surroundings. We generally think of happiness as a response and a result of pleasant circumstances and surroundings. And there are times when it's really easy to be happy, isn't it? Some of you mothers, no doubt, maybe this morning, received a Mother's Day card from your husband and from one of your children. And maybe something that they made themselves at school, especially for Mother's Day. You know, there's some art projects that come home with our children that really don't get too much attention, you know. They don't even think they're that valuable, and some of them end up in the trash can. But when there's something made particularly for Mother at school, it doesn't end up in the trash can for a long, long time. And it's just valuable, it's precious. And it's easy at that moment to just be joyful and to be happy, to feel good. And so happiness we think of as a response and result of pleasant things that happen in our lives. Or we can ask ourselves a question this morning, or is joyfulness a choice that needs to be made in real life happenings? I believe this morning that the success that you have as a mother in your household and raising your children, relating to your husband, relating to the challenges of life that come, has a lot to do with whether you're able to make that choice to be joyful. There's just something about an expression of peace, an expression of rest on Mother's face that sets a tone in the home that just fixes a lot of things. It doesn't fix nearly everything, but it fixes a lot of things. Think about that. A mother's life isn't always easy, you know that. The responsibilities that you face are sometimes overwhelming. And the elated feeling and immense joy when you hold a newborn baby in your arms for the first time seems so distant and strange a few weeks later when emotions are at a low ebb. And that's just, it's part of motherhood. It's part of real life. And here in Psalm 113, those verses that we read, God desires that mothers are praising Him and giving Him thanks and realizing that there is always a reason for genuine praise and adoration to Him. There is always a recipient of our praise, and there is always a reason for genuine praise. And in the Scriptures, God directs us to worship Him and to praise Him and to thank Him for His goodness and thank Him for the blessings that He showers upon us. There is always reason for genuine praise, and God needs to be the recipient of our praise. I believe also that a mother's praise of her children is also very meaningful and very important. And noticing the things that they do and praising them for their accomplishments and their efforts. In order to praise God, we need to see and understand His goodness and His blessings in our lives. Joy affects even our countenance. Psalm 89 in verse 15 says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance." They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. And maybe you say, well, this verse doesn't really apply to Mother's Day. And that might be. But you know, he talks here about those that know the joyful sound. It's not just those that sing the joyful sound. It's those that know that sound. And they're going to walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. And when I read that verse, I get the picture of a pleasant expression on God's face. God is pleased. God is happy. God is delighted. And when we walk in the light of God's countenance and in the light of His pleasure and walk underneath His blessing, it brings joy and peace and happiness. Psalm 5 and verse 11 says this, "But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee." Psalm 42 and verse 11, the psalmist asks the question here, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God." As I think back to my childhood days, the expression on my parents' faces said a lot about a lot of things. That's just how it was. And an expression and a countenance of peace and rest and contentedness in the face of my mother was something that brought security, and it brought confidence, and it brought rest in the day's happenings. I remember the time when we lived on the edge of the town of Denver. We lived up from an intersection, a T-road intersection, and it's in the middle of the summer. We were outside, and I still remember the sound when a van pulled out in front of someone at the stop sign, and the crash, and the van rolled on its side, and I remember how scared I was. I went ballistic. I was pretty young, and I think if I remember right, I was screaming, and I still remember the calmness that my mother had. Now, she was tended to be a calm person, but she probably knew she had to be calm because nobody else was, you know. But, you know, that just brought a sense that I tried to imagine that everything will be okay. This isn't our problem. Of course, she was heading down toward the intersection. There were a couple houses in between, and the neighbors were coming out. But in times when children are fearful, a mother's confidence and rest and even a peaceful expression does wonders for calming the fears of children. A joyful countenance puts folks at ease. It brings comfort to strangers, hospitality to guests, renewed energy to the weary, and it brings peace and security to children. Children need security. They need to have that sense that all is well and that life will be okay. A mother's song, a humming a tune, puts children at ease. And a song can be sung even when you're struggling to figure out if everything will be okay. And struggling to figure out how you're going to get supper ready in time. And those questions and those perplexities of the day's schedule. The opposite of a joyful mother is a moody mother. And, you know, I believe that a moody mothers create tense children and restless children and create teenagers that are very unhappy with life and are very restless. And the list goes on. But so mothers this morning, be intentional about choosing to be joyful even when life doesn't seem to be so easy and pleasant. Secondly, his mothers are an expression of love and compassion. And I just have a few thoughts. We could look at a whole sermon on that. But your soothing care and love calm so many fears. Here in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 26, he talks here about the virtuous woman and that in her tongue is the law of kindness. In her tongue is the law of kindness. I was going to look at Proverbs chapter 6 in closing, but maybe we'll just do that here. And if you have your Bibles open, turn to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6 and verse 20 says this, that my son, keep thy father's commandment. Keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. I didn't do an in-depth study of these verses, but you notice here that he says that keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. So you have this thought of the commandment of the father and the law of the mother. And he says in verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp. And it means a candle. Now think about something. So what is a candle? What is a lamp? Well, it's an instrument through which light is able to be produced. But he says that the law of the mother is the light. And I'm not intending, I don't believe the scriptures teach that mothers need to be the leaders in training children and in holding the standard of godliness in our homes. But think about that. The law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So children today, when your mothers give you instruction, the proverb says that it's the way of life. You need a mother so badly to just give you instruction, and that instruction can be light in your life. And Proverbs here says that one of the laws of her life is this kindness of her tongue. And mothers, this morning, as you love your children and as you care for them and as you give them instruction, your instruction, your care, your love, and as your children get older, there's so much about everything that you have done in life that either is hindered or is complemented by the law of kindness in your words. And I believe that a mother's kind tone and kind words, even when hard things have to be said, is tremendous. And it's something that will guide your children and will be a light to them. Your love is that which includes your children in your day's activities. When your day seems so full, taking time for them. You know, it's a little bit like an employer with employees, or it's a little bit like a father in trying to teach his son a project. You know, it's so much easier to just hope that they catch on as they watch us, because we get a lot more done when we just do it ourselves sometimes. You know that feeling. But when we include them and help them and show them how to do it and help them fix the mistakes, there's so much that is taught. And in a mother's life, where your children are with you for a lot of hours during the day, your life is so interrupted by your children. And allowing them to help you with the day's activities where they can, and including them in your work, it's so much easier to just let them go do something else. One of the challenges that we face today is electronic devices. Let's just be honest with that. And the ability for those things to entertain children for long periods of time. I'll tell you something else that struck me a few years ago. We enjoy a few ponies at our house, and we go to some pony sales. And I still remember the first time a number of years ago when I was at a pony sale that was largely plain people that were there in Lancaster County, and they started advertising this well-trained small mini pony, well-trained, it was good with children, and they would say it's a tremendous babysitter. And they said, when you're canning and you're working, doing the garden things, just let your children go play with a pony so you can do your work. That was the idea. And I heard this over and over again that day, and there was a ring to that that kind of threw a red flag in my mind. Is that really the expression of a godly mother? Now, there are things that your children get entertained with. I mean, you can give a doll to some girls, and yeah, they're satisfied with a long time, and those things are fine. But this whole concept that children get in our way, and that we need to do our work, and the more we can just have them satisfied somewhere else so we can just get done what we need to do, need to look at all that with balance. Expressions of love and compassion as you relate to your children. Love is that which stops your work and meets the needs of the moment. Thirdly, we also learn in the scriptures that a godly mother is one who is a keeper of the house. We had that here in Psalm 113. They are satisfied to dwell at home. Now, sometimes maybe when you read this verse, you wonder what the writers had in mind. You can't stay at home all the time. Here in Psalm 113, this phrase, keep house, means to dwell in a house. Here in Titus chapter 2, I believe this expression, keepers at home, it means to be a stayer at home or to be domestically inclined. And so I believe that many of you as mothers know that feeling of being domestically inclined. And when there's opportunities or there's invitations to do other things, there's things that have to be done. There's other things that are enjoyable to do. But you know, at the end of the day, godly mothers are those who are inclined toward home. And really, that's where they enjoy being. They find rest there. They find comfort there. They're satisfied there. They're content there. A keeper at home. And so learn to find your joy and fulfillment at home. And the list of work that you and tasks that you have at home is endless. There's food preparation. There's so much work that needs to be done to care for the house, to keep the house clean and tidy. And as husbands, we need to assist our wives in that and compliment them and help them where we can in that work. I think about the interest that wives have, that ladies have in recipes, for instance. You know, when has a man gotten out a recipe book? I mean, maybe if it had something to do with grilling, you know, we'd pore over that for a little while. But you know, we need to support our wives in that. They have a big responsibility to make meals interesting and enjoyable, and they do their best. And so compliment them in that work. Number four, another trait and characteristic of a godly mother is one who prays. Mother's prayers often go unnoticed. A mother's prayer is often, maybe at times of the day or night when others are sleeping or others are thinking about other things in life. The songwriter said, thank you, Mama, for praying for me. And if it wasn't for her prayers, he said, I don't know where I'd be. And I think that's true for many, many of us. A godly mother is one who seeks an interest in the lives of others and prays for others. A godly mother has a godly tone and a spiritual tone to her life. And it shows up in the kind of mottos that get hung in the walls. It shows up in the kind of stories that you read to your children. It shows up in the stories of your past that you tell to your children. We had a little experience here just a few weeks ago where my wife was telling me of a sister that was one day was talking about something she did in her teenage years and how she was extremely disrespectful to the minister in a Sunday morning service. And she was kind of sharing it in a humorous way, as if it was a joke, and sort of in the light that if I had this to do over again, I probably would do the same thing. And I said, wow, I wonder if she ever told that story to her children. And she said, well, her girl was standing right there. A little girl was standing right there listening to all this. And I thought about that little story with this point. So mothers, be a praying mother. Take your cares to the Lord. Ask God to bless and to fill your life with grace and love and mercy. And that you would be a godly mother and be a godly influence to your children. And help your children to form ideals that will help them to choose God in their life as well. And last of all, she's a mother that has an interest in serving others. There's so much that you do as mothers to serve the needs of others, and we think about that many, many times when there's work to do in the church, when there's people with needs, when there's needs in the community with a family. It's oftentimes mothers that gather things together. Stop your busy schedule and help with the needs. I believe that a year ago, I mentioned that many of you in the midst of your busy tasks and schedules had to stop and be a homeschooling mom all of a sudden when schools were shut down and closed. And so the list of things that you do and your tasks is endless. And so a godly mother is one who serves the needs of others. There's school meal participation when there's a special meal there. Being aware of the needs in our neighborhoods, it's oftentimes mothers that notice those needs. And if it's husbands that notice, you know what happens sometimes, depending on the need, you know what they do? They come home from work and they're driving in down the road and they see a needy neighbor, and guess what they do? They say, "Mom, you know what? I think you ought to be baking some cookies for them." And then we go on with our life, and sure enough, she carries it out. Offering your 12-year-old son to mow the neighbor lady's lawn, and things like this, serving the needs at church. There was a woman by the name of Kami Hoops from California. I believe she's the mother to 4 girls. And her girls' testimony is that their mother taught them to be serving and to serve the needs of others. And that's the way she raised her family. And she said this, that service is never convenient, it's never easy, it always needs to start at home, and it's what fills the world with better human beings. And I believe it's so true that serving the needs of others, it's just never at a convenient time. And it's never easy, and those things need to start in our homes. We serve in inconspicuous ways and unassuming ways. So may God bless you today as mothers in your task and in your role. As you relate with your families, as you provide for them and care for them, as you support your husband and his tasks and his responsibilities, the call of a godly mother is a great calling. And your value is far above rubies. And as God, you know, it's the scriptures that gave us that value. And as God gives you the grace and the strength to serve and to carry out this call, great calling in your life, continue to reach out to Him. Continue to share with each other. I believe that today, mothers, as they share encouragements with each other, as you realize the needs in other mothers' lives, and as you assist them, you as a community can do tremendous blessings for each other. And as you serve, as you think about the daily moments and the daily challenges, and as you're faithful, God will bless you, and He will bless your families tremendously. Let's kneel for prayer.